born in 1592 in the Highlands of Scotland, and he is still alive. He is immortal, constantly facing other immortals in combat to the death. The winner takes his enemy's head, and with it, his power. We know the truth about immortals. In the end, there can be only one. May it be Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, Season 6, Episode 1, Avatar. And here to talk with you about it, as we are all the time, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis. Over there, that's the Audie Norman. Audie, how you been?
Been good, man. We were talking just before recording how long it's been, and it feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, it's probably been through, 4 weeks? But it feels it feels so much longer than that.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that can go.
I think because it's been a crazy winter, like the past 4 weeks, just the amount of crap that has happened locally, nationally.
Yeah.
It's been a lot.
it has been. And, you know, this is like a fun little oasis for us every week to talk about immortals and just get a little escapism. So it's nice to be back.
For sure.
For season 6, the final season of Highlander.
Yeah.
Hard to believe that we're already on season 6. It feels like we just started the show. We've been doing it for a couple of years now. We're coming up on almost 2 years of doing the show. And we're to season 6. It's a shorter season. There's only 13 episodes. But we're going to do those 13 episodes. We're going to do what we always do and recap the season and the series as a whole.
Yeah.
And then we have a little treat for you because we've covered all 5 Highlander movies now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another one.
One more.
There's an animated one called Highlander, The Search for Vengeance, and we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we are.
After this season because
kind
of have to. I feel like there's a contractual obligation there.
Mm-hmm.
A moral imperative, if you will. So we will be doing that, but... To start, I mean, season 6, you know, we're coming off of arguably the best season of the series in season 5. I think 4 and 5 can really kind of jockey for that, right? Because they're both just such good seasons. I might tip my hand a little bit towards season 5 because I think start to finish it was a little more solid.
Yeah, I think 5 just was... The couple of episodes we would say not watching... Season 5 is super nitpicky. I think there was more in season 4 that we would be like, yeah, get rid of that. Yeah, we can skip that. I think 5, it was a lot harder to do that for the most part.
It really was. It, you know, 3, 4, and 5 were where the show really found its stride and really knew what it was doing. So it'll be curious to see how they follow that up in season 6 because, like most syndicated shows, when they ended season 5, they didn't know if they were going to have a season 6. In fact, there was some assumption that they weren't going to. And this season in particular is odd because of that. It's shorter, for one, as we mentioned, only 13 episodes. And there are some choices made we will talk about as we go through this season as to what they were trying to do with the show.
Right.
So it'll get a little bit interesting. We also had a change to our opening credits.
Yeah, we did.
As we lost Richie and Stan Kirsch is no longer on the show. So now Elizabeth Grayson and Peter Wingfield are in the opening credits.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
They're not in this episode, but they're in the opening credits.
Right.
But you know what else we have that I think we should listen to before we start talking about any more about this this episode?
What's that?
A Watcher Chronicle.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, so let's listen to that.
Yeah.
October 5th, 1997. Dawson has some strange idea that there was an immortal older than Mythos. I mean, we haven't even found evidence of Mythos beyond stories, and now he's telling us there's somebody older than him named Ahriman or something. I don't know, he's got a bunch of us working on some new project about this Ahriman, and he's even bringing in archaeologists and all sorts of people. This is very strange. And I heard that Duncan MacLeod is back in Paris. Nobody's seen him for a year. I don't know what's going on here, but something feels off. So, we're 1 year after the events of the end of last season. And
right.
The episode actually starts off with a quick recap of the season 5 finale. Just to kind of get you up to speed. If this were, you know, back in 1997 when it originally aired, it had been 5 months, almost 6 months of time. So you needed that. Then we get the opening credits, and then what we see is we see Duncan in a monastery somewhere in Malaysia. Kuala Lumpur, I think, is where they name the monastery. But he's working out, he's practicing, he's meditating, and he's remembering Richie.
Right.
And he's wearing a really bad wig. And then he picks up the what looks kind of like almost like a ceremonial dagger and starts hacking his hair off. And this is big, right? Because Duncan has had the long hair throughout the whole series.
He has.
And even after he lost Tessa, the love of his life, you know, he didn't go through this drastic of a change, but now he's... And I think some of that was... Tessa was very important to him, but Tessa's death wasn't his fault.
Right.
Now he's going through all of this with Richie, and it was his fault. And he was kind of used for that. So he cuts his hair off. He's got a real short look to it. He's got the book that he had with all the from the archaeologist about Ahriman.
Right.
He takes the dagger with kind of a no more fear and throws the dagger at the book, and he's got this real determined look on his face.
Yeah.
And we cut to Paris, and Joe's visiting Richie's grave.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe's in a rough spot. He's not doing well. He misses Richie. And Duncan arrives, shows up, and is like, you know, hey, Joe, how's it going? Thanks for doing all this. And Joe's just like, what the hell? Where have you been? Just lambasting him and telling him how he's had 40 or 50 watchers looking all over the globe for him. They couldn't find him because apparently they didn't think to look in Malaysia.
apparently.
But Joe's not happy with Mac. And he also still doesn't really believe that Ahriman is a thing, that Duncan's some grand champion, all of this. But Duncan's like, look, whether you believe it or not, it's real. It's what's happening. It's what happened. At one point, Joe even tries to say, you know, oh, it's been a year since the accident. And Duncan pushes back on that. Like, accident? Richie was murdered. He used me as a weapon type of deal. And he wants Joe's help. He wants the help of Joe and the Watchers to try and figure this thing out. And Joe is like, I don't know. Because he just can't wrap his head around it. And he basically is like, man, I'm not sure. And he just leaves.
And I'll go ahead and say it right here at the beginning of this episode. We have talked so many times about them cramming a story into one episode. And this one already feels like they're not doing that at all, and it feels right that they're stretching this story out.
Yes.
Like, to not have Joe immediately be on the same page with Duncan immediately feels right, you know? Yeah. With Duncan been gone for a year, he doesn't know where he went, if he was alive. He suddenly shows up, and he's pissed, because he's like, where have you been?
Yep.
I still don't believe what happened was what happened. What the heck?
Yeah.
So... it was really nice to start on this foot the way they did.
Mm-hmm. And so Joe just walks away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Duncan later on is at the barge and he has a nightmare. And you could tell it was a nightmare from the beginning of it because the way they shot it, like Duncan's in a completely black background. You can't see anything. And it had like a little bit of a stutter to the frame rate.
Yeah.
But in the nightmare, Dawson appears to him with his sword. It's like, hey, I thought you might want this back, but then attacks him with it.
Right.
And during the struggle with that, Duncan kills Joe in the dream and wakes up from it, and he's all freaked out. So,
well, even before that, Joe leaves Richie's grave, and Ahriman shows up again as Horton,
yes.
which I think is still a great choice. Let's use an actor we know that we already have established as bad guy, have him be the vessel for Ahriman, and it works great. Like, they could have, again, I think, like we said at the season finale, they could have brought in some random actor to be it, but I think it's a smart choice to use somebody to get to Duncan, not only as being the bad guy, but to mess with him psychologically.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so Ahriman is already playing with him. And then we cut to a young woman and a friend of hers, and they're waiting for the bus. And they're having a little conversation about she's having trouble meeting a guy. Her brother is very protective, blah, blah, blah. A guy walks up with a tray of white roses for sale, and he offers her roses. And she looks down and sees one red rose in there and then immediately fixates on that, picks it up, and just kind of walks off in a daze, saying, "Never mind, I'll just walk." And then we see the flower vendor's eyes flash red. And that lets us know, ooh, that's Ahriman. Dun, dun, dun. So we go to Le Blues Bar. Very, very clever. But
Joe's in Paris. He's got to have a blues bar.
Yep. So Joe's inside and he's playing guitar and he's contemplating things and he's remembering all these conversations. It's basically Joe's version of the scene with McLeod in the monastery. Now we get Joe's version of that. He's playing his guitar and it's awesome. I love watching Jim Burns play. And he's remembering all these conversations, all these moments with McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing some soul searching. He's really having a rough time in it. And while that's going on, we see Duncan selling off, or not selling off, but packing up everything in the barge, putting it in a truck. And I love that moment where he's like, "Here are the instructions, and here's the check." And the guy's like, "But this is for 50 years. He goes, "I'm an optimist."
Yeah.
So he sends all his stuff away, goes inside, and there's just nothing inside the barge. It's just big, open, empty space. And then Joe drives up, just as Duncan's getting ready to walk away and go out and do whatever he was going to do. And Joe shows up, and he's like, "Look, I don't think that this demon thing is real. I don't know how I can believe that. I can't wrap my head around it." To which Duncan kind of replies like, "Well, thanks for thinking about it." And I love Dawson's reaction. "Hold on. I didn't say I was done." And while he can't believe in this demon, he believes in McLeod. Their friendship means enough to him. He thinks highly enough of Duncan. He is willing to back him up. He's gonna help him.
Going back for a second to that scene where he's playing guitar and thinking about it, I think they did a really good job of editing all those clips of conversations and everything with Duncan. They didn't put it on too thick. They used just enough, you know, to fit into that song period. And so it felt like a real Joe working through his feelings in that moment. And so when he shows up with McLeod, and McLeod's like, "Well, thanks for trying." And Joe's like, "I'm not done. I thought about this. I'm with you." And I was like, okay. Again, not immediately jamming this down our throats for the sake of getting the story crammed in, but like letting this story beat breathe just enough to for Joe to like, okay, if he's back and he says he's going to do this, then why should I not help him?
Right, because it makes sense that we should see Duncan show up and Joe be upset. And while you can kind of like, you know, Joe's going to come around because it's Joe, you need a scene of him. You need at least one scene of him saying no, refusing, and then having to come to it himself and having to realize, no, this is a friend of mine. Because part of season 5 dealt with the split of Duncan and Joe and not being able to be friends because the he was a watcher and Duncan was an immortal. And so that started to patch up by the end of the season, but it was still not 100% yet. So we needed Joe to finally kind of be like, no, this is, I do need this friendship, but I also need to help this guy out. And I like
also, I think it's something to be said about Joe's friendship with Richie too.
Yes.
That this wasn't just somebody he knew. Like, this was one of Joe's best friends this side of Duncan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I definitely think there was more of a uncle nephew kind of thing between those two characters, but he definitely loved and cared for Richie. Like, he broke down at the finale.
Yeah.
So like, it wasn't just he was pissed off at Duncan for not being there, but he was pissed off because of what Duncan did and because Richie's dead because of it. So it's like, okay, one, Richie's dead. I'm still not over that. Like, I came back to the grave a year later to remember him. Apparently, yeah. He's the only one who did. And then Duncan shows up, and it's like all that stuff. So, again, we keep saying it. I like having this progression and not just immediately, Joe, immediately like, yep, I'm with you. No, realistically, I'm going to be a little pissed off at first when you show up. But once I come around, get past those emotions, like, happens with all of us, you know, in the heat of the moment, something happens, you're just immediately like on fire and just pissed off.
Yep.
Once you settle down and start thinking about it and you come back around, you're like, okay, I see where I need to be on this.
Absolutely. So while they're having that conversation, then Joe does open up the back of his car and he's like, hey, I got something for you. And he goes to hand Duncan his sword.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, Duncan left it next to Richie and took off.
Right.
And Duncan's like, no, I don't want that. He's not ready for it, basically. But Joe's like, you're still an immortal. Someone's going to come right. to your head. And Duncan's like, well, I'll have to figure something out, but I'm not taking it. And I love that because they're right there is them getting back to like that respectful understanding. Joe's like, that's fine, whatever. You're stubborn. I get it. And he right. puts it back. In his Jeep, and he's like, I will hang on to this for you, essentially.
Yeah.
So Joe agrees, and he's going to go get the Watchers on this, and they're going to start trying to find some information for Duncan to see what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
When we see the girl with the rose from earlier walk out onto the bridge right nearby, she's definitely still in her daze, and she drops the rose off the bridge, and then in, you know, her fugue state, she just jumps into the river.
Yep.
And Duncan's right there, so he jumps in after her, and we see
of course
obvious stuntman jump off the bridge and then swim around in the water for a little bit.
I gotta say though, my immediate thought was like, why don't you take off your coat, dude? Come on. Yeah, now.
No doubt. What are you trying to swim in a long coat for?
So yeah, that was funny.
So he rescues her, he gets her out of the water. Mm-hmm. And gets her onto the shore, gives her some CPR. She wakes back up, and she has no idea how she got there, why she's soaking wet from the river, how she ended up in the river. None of
right.
it. And Duncan says, all right, well, let's get you, you know, let's get you out of here. Gives you a hospital or home or wherever. And then we get these flashes of Ahriman and a woman being pulled from the river and the flower and all this kind of stuff. So we cut forward a little bit, and Joe shows up at the barge, and he's got some info. And Duncan's in the process of kind of meditating and working out, and I like that scene because Duncan's got his little bowl of tea, and Joe's like, yeah, anything stronger than that tea? Because I'm not going to start meditating till I retire. I don't need the clarity. Give me something better. So so the Watchers have...
But of course, we get... I gotta say, props to Duncan for still having a little something-something under the table, and he just pulls it out for Joe. Here you go.
He got rid of everything but that bottle of scotch. Joe's like, you know, I got Watchers working on stuff, and every archaeologist I can find in the order and all of that. And he's telling them that they have evidence of an immortal older than Mythos. And that's his cover story.
Right.
But they found that there's a woman at the university in Paris who has been studying Ahriman.
Yeah.
Which we didn't know about a year ago. So.
No.
Yeah. But she's young, so maybe she just got, you know, within the last year, moved to Paris or something. Anyway.
Well, I think she was supposed to be the assistant of, what's his name, from the finale, the old dude, archaeologist.
That could be. I might have just missed that in watching it. But at any rate... Her name is Sophie Baines, which just so happens to be who Duncan ran into the day before in the river.
Yep.
So the strange thing is it's the same person. So Joe goes to the university to try and find out some information. And he gets there, and her office has been burned. and all of her research is burned, and no one's seen her or talked to her. So Duncan goes to see her at her house, and we find out about her overprotective brother, who has the largest wrench I have ever seen for working for on that motorcycle.
Right?
He's very standoffish with Duncan. So Duncan turns to leave, and he sees Sophie talking to Ahriman, who's in a car, and then Ahriman kind of looks at him, smiles, and drives away. So Duncan confronts her about it. Of course, he's like, you know who that was? Well, and she has no clue what's going on. She her, that was just some random person that asked for directions. So all this is happening.
And I think,
oh, go ahead.
And I would say, like, Duncan and us at the same time are wondering what the heck's going on and wondering if she's actually in on this or not.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there thinking, like, is she playing a game? Like, is she automatically turned or what?
Yeah, we don't really know at this point. She's feigning innocence or claiming innocence, but we have no idea. And her brother comes out, and Duncan leaves. And as he's leaving, the car that we saw Ahriman driving is down a street. And it starts to drive towards Duncan. So Duncan takes off running down the street. And the car chases him and nearly hits a woman with a pram and nearly hits a couple crossing the street and all this. And ends up Duncan jumps on top of another car and then barrel rolls over this thing. And then the windows come down and there's nobody driving it. But we hear Ahriman's voice on the radio before some really, really loud music starts playing until Duncan rips the radio right out of the car.
I love that. I was like, man, that's impressive.
So,
of course, this was back in the day when you could easily rip a radio out of a car like that.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is why you had so many radio interfaces that, like, the face came off. Kids, ask your parents.
So, So now we've got Ahriman is just messing with Duncan left and right. Joe's telling Duncan about the research again. We get back to that. He's in mythology all over the place. And Duncan asks about the university, about Sophie and her research. And Dawson's like, yeah, no, it's all burned. And they couldn't, they wanted to talk to her about it, but, and Duncan's like, well, she's at home. I just saw her. No, she's not. She died.
Yeah.
She died in the river. They pulled her body out of the river. So now you've got confused Duncan.
Yeah, understandably.
Meanwhile, Ahriman is also messing and tormenting Sophie. So she is apparently innocent in this. She's being used as a pawn, but it's very odd. So Ahriman's telling her that she's dead. She doesn't believe it. At one point she tries to call, the police. She picks up the phone and dials it, and it's Ahriman's voice in the phone. And he's, popping up behind her. So she takes off, runs out of the house, gets in her car, drives away, and he's down the street.
Which, she had a car? Okay.
Yeah. So he's down the street. She runs him over, but then he pops up inside the car and all this kind of stuff. So he's messing with her totally. She ends up driving to the morgue, which is where Duncan is, because Duncan's like, Duncan's trying to find out what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
And he goes to identify the body. Sure enough, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
She shows up with Ahriman, who is still like, look, you're dead. Yes, you're dead, but you're also here. I made it happen. This is all me. Work with me. And she runs inside, and she ends up seeing herself on the slab and is even more confused, which I kind of was too. Like, they don't give a rhyme or reason for how this works exactly. But she ends up leaving the morgue again, obviously distraught and confused, gets into the car with Ahriman, and they drive away. And then Duncan comes out and looks around. So he just missed them. So Ahriman keeps messing with McLeod. Now he's showing him, like, look, I can bring people back for you. Look, I can give you Richie. I can give you Tessa. All you have to do is work with me.
And again, using short bursts of archival footage, just enough. Like, again, props to the way they threw this footage in here and there.
Yeah. It would have been great to be able to show, to have Stan Kirshen. And if you were doing it today, you'd have been able to work out getting them back, I bet.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it just wasn't a possible thing back then. So using the archive footage was good. Duncan's not buying it. So now Ahriman's like, all right, plan B, go with Sophie. So he goes back to Sophie and tells her that he gave her back her life. She can have it, but she has to do something for him. He wants her to kill MacLeod.
Mm-hmm.
She wants nothing to do with that. He's like, look, I could make you do it. But he would know. And I can't have that. I need it to be your idea. So he threatens her. First with the pain of death of herself, but then with the pain of death of her brother.
Right.
And what he could do to what her being gone would do to her brother, but also what he could do to her brother.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get her on the bridge and Duncan shows up and they have a conversation where she's like, look, he wants me to kill you. She lays it all out for him.
Right.
She can't bring herself to kill him. She doesn't want to do that. And so there's a conversation of like, you know, she finally fully believes, because Duncan has been trying to convince her throughout most of the episode that of who Ahriman is. And she's like, no, it's a myth. Because, you know, she's studied it, but it's still just a myth to her.
Right.
So he's finally like, look, this is all real. Obviously, you know this now. You got to help me. What can I do? She's like, so you're the champion. Yeah, no, I am the champion, but how do I beat him? And we get the cryptic, every champion has to find their own way. And I love it. It's like Duncan's like, what does that mean?
It's like, how do I do this? You got to figure it out. How do I figure it out?
And while they're having oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, the whole thing of him, of Ahriman talking to Sophie and trying to convince her to kill Duncan, we start to see where Duncan and Joe previously had a conversation about, like, how does this work? And Duncan's like, I don't know, but there seems to be some kind of rules to this. Because Joe's like, why doesn't he just smite everybody right here and now? And Duncan's like, I don't think he can. I think there's some kind of rules he's working with. And it feels like we're starting to figure out some of those rules. Like, apparently he's not the one that can actually kill the champion.
Right.
So that's why, apparently, he's, for whatever reason, he got Sophie in on the gig.
Right. And that's one of the things they did was, you know, Duncan tells him about how he's evil and whatnot. And Ahriman's like, I mean, evil, it's such a human thing. It's so limiting. You know, what's good? What's evil? Like, I'm beyond your comprehension. You know, that kind of stuff.
I love that scene because it was like, oh, we're going down this road. Everybody's done this. The bad guy always gets all, you know, theoretical about it and philosophical. And then Duncan's retort is, so that's it? 1,000 years of bad PR?
Yes.
I ain't buying it, dude.
I love that. So while they're at the bridge, while Mac and Sophie are having this conversation, suddenly Duncan gets shot.
Plan C.
Because plan C was get little brother to do the dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
And basically because Andrew, her brother, is very protective of her. And so Ahriman, it wouldn't take Ahriman a whole lot to convince him to do that.
No, not at all.
So he comes running up at Duncan, gun in hand, shot him, and then is going after him with a big old machete.
Right.
And Sophie's pleading and begging with him to stop. Don't do it. Don't do it. He's, you know, of course not listening. He's like, this is for you. I need to protect you. And she takes it upon herself to take her out of the equation. If she is no longer, she does it for her brother, so her brother won't go through with killing Duncan.
Yeah.
And part of it is that in her mind, she's already died.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really. And this is something that I think could have been stretched out a little bit more. And I think we could have had a little more introspection from her in terms of like, who am I, what's going on type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have that much runtime.
Right.
So she throws herself off the bridge into the river basically to save her little brother.
Right.
In a twisted way.
Mm-hmm.
And now we go back to the barge and there's Joe and Duncan once again going over info. And they've got the information, but they have no idea how to use any of it or how they're going to stop this demon. But they've got to figure it out.
They've got some kind of symbol
to
work with, and that's about it.
They have a symbol to work with, and that's all we get. And then episode ends on a cliffhanger. To be continued.
Right. I was going to say, specifically says to be continued, so you know they're planning on it.
Yep. So that's where we end this one. It's pretty interesting. But we do have some special guests, and they are definitely worth talking about.
Yes.
You're such a sad story, McLeod. All alone and no one to believe you. Perhaps your friend Richie would listen.
Richie's dead.
Our special guest this week... All right, look, Peter Hudson's back as Ahriman.
Right.
And...
just eating it up.
Like, Ahriman was multiple people in the last episode, most notably in the form of James Horton, Kronos, and Richie. But I think staying with the Horton visage is perfect. Because
absolutely,
you laid it out earlier. Like he is the most known kind of bad guy for this series, especially for Duncan. Mm-hmm. And Peter Hudson is just so good. It's interesting because he's actually like more reserved as the demon Ahriman than when he was James Horton. Like,
right
when his early episodes as Horton, he would go like way more over the top than he does as Ahriman.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it was a different character, but yeah.
True.
It's nice to see him here as this type of character.
Yeah. And he's got such a good look, and I think that more reserved, you know, not getting so theatrical and yelling so much, but just the quiet kind of matter-of-fact delivery of everything and that just steely-eyed look is so creepy. He's really good with that. So yeah. That was great. And it's fun having him back, and he's the perfect embodiment for Ahriman, for Duncan.
Yeah.
And I know he's back at least one more time.
Nice.
And then Rachel Shelley.
At least next episode, I would hope.
And then Rachel Shelley as Sophie Baines. I liked her, but it's sort of... it's my only real complaint about this episode is Sophie... is not quite fleshed out. She spends most of the episode confused that that anything happened. And I was kind of a little bit surprised that they got rid of the character after a single episode rather than letting her... because I think we would have been served better if the cliffhanger had been, is she going to go through with it and try to kill Duncan or not?
Sure.
And have that part of things kind of unfold in the next episode. Now, it's going to depend on what the next episode goes through, because I don't remember it, so we'll have a better kind of idea after watching that, how the story finishes up. But I was a little bit surprised that they killed her character off a second time at the end of this episode, rather than kind of letting it follow through. And but you know, that's,
I mean,
it's a nitpick. Two.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the idea that she's brought back to life by the demon, and even if you don't go through the kind of nuts and bolts of how that works, her wrestling with that more, I think would have been interesting to kind of, especially in a world with immortals where they can die and come back. She died and came back, but not in the same body, not like an immortal does.
Right.
So...
yeah, that was an interesting little choice. I wonder if it's one of those things where they wrote themselves into a corner and couldn't figure out a better way to write out of it.
Maybe not. Like, it's hard to say.
I mean, there's no real need for her to die like that, other than to get her to the morgue to see her body and be convinced of that. But well, like, you know, Armand's got the power. If he wanted to just hurt her, he could have just hurt her like that, I assume, so.
He could have, but I wonder, too, if, like, that has something to... again, if you tie it into immortals, right? Because the idea that we're sort of going towards is that immortals are the champions that can fight Ahriman, right? They're the humans with godlike abilities that can be the champion.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have them be immortal where they don't die, they die but they come back... but Ahriman can't replicate that. He can't bring, if Sophie dies, he can't just bring Sophie back to life, but he can create a copy of Sophie that is alive type of thing. Like, there's something kind of neat to sort of ferret out and look at and explore, which is why I feel like her end was a little bit premature.
Yeah. It was interesting, like, just thinking about that. It seemed like, for all the things he did in this episode, the one thing that seemed to take actual energy and thought from Ahriman was raising somebody out up. Like, when he brought in Richie and Tess, you know, even with the archival footage, physically you could see he was having to do some work there to make that happen.
Yeah.
Just enough to tempt Duncan. So, again, are we starting to kind of figure out the rules without them telling us the rules yet? We'll see.
Yeah. And I also want to mention Danny Dyer as Andrew Baines. He's barely in the episode, but he's had actually a pretty good career doing some voice acting as well. He did like Grand Theft Auto, stuff like that.
Yeah. He looked so familiar to me, but I think it's another actor I'm thinking of.
Same.
And I couldn't figure it out before recording. I was trying to dig through and, you know, think about who it was. He looks like some other kid I remember from like the 90s and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He did the same thing. But he looks familiar and I've probably seen him in a show or something somewhere, but it's not who I'm thinking he reminds me of. Like,
right.
I can't pinpoint who it is, but he's just got that look about him.
But he did a good job for this episode.
Yeah. For what he had to work with and what he was in the episode, it was good.
Yeah.
You know, both Sophie and Andrew kind of don't have a ton to do, but Sophie's on screen a lot. And I think maybe that's why I'm nitpicking on her, because her character's on screen a lot, but doesn't really, like, we get about halfway through an arc and then she just kind of stops. I want just the full arc, because I think her screen presence is good. I think that she could have done a lot either pre having her jump into the river or post having her jump into the river, giving some more on either end of that, I think would have been good. But
yeah, especially when they give us a bunch right at the beginning when she's walking and talking to her friend, it feels like they're trying to lay it out all there and just kind of leave it at that and let that be your description. It's like, give me just a little bit more, you know, because once we get to the point where she is clued into what's going on, we don't really get any sense of what she's really thinking until she's jumping off the bridge again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just when she's starting to get to, she's left the annoying, boring, like, I don't know what's going on phase. And then she's gone.
Yeah.
So, but still, she was fine. Danny Dyer was good. And Peter Hudson's great.
Just,
and you can tell he's having fun playing this character. And Ahriman is a fun character, because as this Zoroastrian demon embodiment thing, whatever he's supposed to be, you can just go crazy with it. And he does so, but in such a reserved way. Like, you could easily go over the top with it.
For sure.
And he handles it
so well.
Yeah. We've seen Peter Hudson play over the top. So it's a nice. It's a nice way to play a different menacing version of, you know, of this actor. It's nice to see a different version of that. And I liked it.
Right. Which has got to be so much fun for an actor to be able to be like, okay, we want you back in this series as a different kind of character.
Sure.
And absolutely. This is what we're going to do. And it's like, okay, I get to play with these muscles this time. Awesome.
This thing used me to kill Richie.
Do you think I want to believe you? I mean, that the bad guy in this thing is a Zoroastrian demon named Ahriman, a thing that comes back every 1,000 years to try to take over the world. Will you listen to how that sounds?
But it's true, Joe.
And you are the champion.
So, no flashback. I mean, we got some, like, flashback moments, but
that are more intended to be memories.
Yes. Yeah, it's no real flashback, so that's fine. You know, we don't need it every episode. And the use of those images, both from Duncan reminiscing, from Joe reminiscing, I think worked really well.
Yeah, and even the archival footage of Tess and Richie as Temptation, you know.
Yeah. As I mentioned, Peter Wingfield and Elizabeth Grayson are now in the opening credits of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So they are main cast members, but they are not in this episode. But Joe is. And Joe is our other focal point. And you already nailed it with how they handled him in this episode perfectly, because that was the best way to do it. We want, we as an audience want Joe and Duncan to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't just, Duncan can't show up a year later and Joe just be like, hey, welcome back. I, you know, we missed you. We couldn't find you. We've been looking for you, but hey, come on in here, buddy. Like, they need that friction a little bit. They, Joe needs to be like upset, but it's almost like Joe's kind of looking for an excuse to take Duncan back in, you know, in a way.
And,
like, he's
and it's
upset.
One of those things.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's one of those things, like, Duncan's been gone a year, which means probably after he killed Richie, he immediately took off and they didn't see him at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what it's implied. So it's like, I think part of Joe being upset is just like, you took off and didn't tell us anything. Mm-hmm. What the heck, man? You know, so he's got to have that space to be upset. And I like that they gave it to him, but still gave us a reason for Duncan, for a, still gave us that experience of Joe coming around. Like, we know he's going to, because this is Joe on Highlander, the series.
Yep.
He's going to be friends eventually. So nice. Again, nice that they didn't do it immediately, and good the way they handled it. And just, Jim Burns, again, as Joe Dawson, just kills it.
Yeah. You need that moment where you haven't seen this person for so long. They just took off.
Mm-hmm.
They left, didn't say a word. So you need that, like, that moment where they show back up and you slap them and then you hug them. You give them.
Because I didn't get a chance to slap you before when I wanted to.
Exactly.
Because you took off. But I've got still got this bent up.
Yep.
Emotion about that. So smack.
Yep. And then you have a moment to breathe and then you come in for the hug. And that's basically, they did that and it's well done. And getting to see Jim Burns sit down and play guitar and just reminisce. And it's a great way to use some previous footage. And again, if you are watching this series for the first time and it's been 5 or 6 months since you've seen the show, this is a good way to not have to have a 4 minute previously on Highlander moment and work it in narratively. And also, if you're brand new to the show and you're coming in on season 6, why are these guys doing this? Well, here's a few clips of them from the past talking. And it's all centered around this idea of like these two guys getting along and belief, Joe believing in Duncan and Duncan believing in Joe. And that was the crux of everything that he was thinking about, was because that is the conclusion he had to come to. He is struggling so much with the demon and that kind of stuff that he can't wrap his head around. But at the end of the day, none of that matters whatsoever. It's about his belief in Duncan MacLeod.
And, you know, not for nothing, these are two knucklehead dudes. And sometimes two knucklehead dudes are going to bash it out a little bit, and then they're going to come around. They don't have a huge conversation about it. Joe comes back. He's like, well, you know, I don't know about this stuff. Duncan's like, well, okay. And Joe's like, wait, but I believe in you, so I'm here, you know?
Yeah. Yep, that is
no
basically
big, huge
it.
Conversation about it. And then they slide into the, okay, let's figure this out.
It's like, you know, all right.
Exactly.
The guy conversations. The conversations that, an entire conversation where no words are used. Look, I've had plenty of those. I know how it goes. So yeah, it's just great. And Joe is such an important part of this show because he's Duncan's moral compass. And he's a realist. But he's a realist, and yet he's also idealist in that he believes in Duncan so much.
Right.
So,
and he's kind of our connection to the real world.
Yeah.
Outside of all this crazy stuff. So it's nice to have him be there. Like, what the heck is going on? Like, I'm helping you. We'll figure this out, but what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Just the same thing we're wondering.
Which is a big reason why he and Richie work so well together, because Richie started season one. Richie was our connection. Richie and Tessa were our connection to the real world. And so they introduced Joe, and during season two, we lose Tessa, and then we lose Richie as that connection to the real world, and now he becomes a bridge between the two as he's learning. And so we get to adopt Joe as that connection to the real world, but then because Richie was just recently that for our audience, they have that connection, and you can bring those two characters together, which is why Joe took it so hard.
Yeah.
Plus, Joe Dawson as a character is such a as tough as he can come across at times, and as stubborn and abrasive as he can be, he's a gentle person at heart. Yeah. And so he might not have, like, Joe Dawson to me feels like somebody who doesn't have a ton of close friends, but those friends that are close to him are beyond the level of friendship. He's got a few foxhole buddies and then like acquaintances, but those foxhole friends are to the end. And so for him, Richie was one of those, and to lose that, it was tough for him. But he's going to honor and remember Richie by staying friends with Duncan and embracing that friendship, because Duncan comes to Joe.
Right.
It takes him a year to figure it out, but he comes back to Joe, and Joe isn't going to take that lightly. Right. And he's certainly not going to throw that away. And then as far as fights go, there weren't any in this episode. Duncan doesn't even hold a sword except in one or two flashback images. But there were some good stunts, I will say that. A couple of those car stunts. I mean, we've talked about it before. Yeah. They those look painful. I got to give these stunt guys credit, because they're rolling over cars and... Oh, it's crazy. But it is what it is. Like, there's always going to be a little bit of stunt work going on, and I liked what they did in this. But no fights or anything like
that. For sure. Right. And again, that's the crux of what we're doing with this series for right now. We're battling a demon. Duncan doesn't want to use his sword for it yet, because last time he tried that, it didn't work out so well.
No.
So he's trying to figure out what other way he could fight.
Yep.
Basically.
And he's got Joe there to help him. And Joe's bringing the Watchers.
Yep.
I guess it's just you and me, Richie. I can't believe it's been a year already. I wish I could tell you why this happened. It all makes sense now. But I can't.
And so that was episode one of season six, Avatar.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty solid opening to the season.
I think so, yeah. Considering what we got with the season five finale, this was a good way to bring us back into the story that they're obviously wanting to continue.
Yeah.
But again, I like that it's at least one of two parts, that they didn't just rush everything into this one episode. That this is something that I feel like it needs to be at least two episodes, if not more. Like,
oh, for sure, for sure.
It's something...
Yeah.
Given the weight of what happened and how it's affected everybody, we need more than just one episode to resolve it quickly.
Yes. The wholesale change to the series with the loss of Richie, you can't wrap that up in a single episode and just move on from it. You need to give that a couple, because he was such a big part of the show for five seasons. And just the way season five ended, you kind of need to bring it in and sort of ramp into this season. So I appreciated that. I kind of liked the idea of Duncan going for a new beginning. So cutting the hair, cleaning out the barge, going Spartan, really bringing things back to simple. Like, even his wardrobe was very simple. It was a lot of just white shirts and a black coat. Like, he didn't, he didn't overdo any of that. I kind of liked it. I think, as a standalone, if you were just to watch this episode, it's okay. It's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best episode, but it's not terrible either. Like, it's a good episode.
Yeah.
But knowing the context of what's going on and what happened previously, and watching this episode is incredibly important to it, because it essentially makes us into a three-part arc.
Right.
I just can't imagine having the way season five ended and then waiting almost 6 months for the next episode.
Yeah.
People watching shows today and are binge watching way that television is done. You can't really wrap your head. I mean, people complain now when they have to wait a week between episodes getting released. And it's like that used to be the normal. And if you had a cliffhanger at the end of a season, like, can you imagine some of the Star Trek cliffhangers that would end seasons and then start the next season? And you got to wait like 6 to 8 months for the resolution of that. Like, that was tough. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Ugh.
It's funny. This season opener kind of reminded me of Highlander, the animated series, the cartoon, the Saturday morning version. In, we're trying to start a different story, and the Highlander immortal part is kind of tangential. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the series goes, because I don't remember how it goes at all. So,
yeah, that is interesting, right? They're sort
like of... it has the feel of somebody trying to reboot Highlander almost. You know,
you're not wrong there. There's a little bit of that, a little bit of like experimenting. They're not full on going to do that, but they're going to be like, well, what if we brought this into the mythology? Right. What would happen there? Let's test the waters with this a little bit and see how it goes. It's not bad. And it's a good way to start our season. So
yeah.
And look at season six. It's the final season of Highlander. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the final season of Let's Watch Highlander, but we'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
You'll have to stick around a few episodes to find out what we mean about that. But next week, we have the conclusion, I believe. I don't think it goes beyond this, of this arc. I have to assume, with a title like Armageddon. Where do you go after Armageddon?
That's interesting. Yep, yeah, for sure.
So that is next week's episode, episode 2, Armageddon. Now, we're back, and we're going to be doing this show every... we record it live on Tuesdays, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, if you want to hang out live and hear the chatter in between segments as we kind of work things out and yell at us from the chat room if you happen to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. The show comes out on Thursdays at anchor.fm/Let's Watch Highlander or anywhere you get your podcasts. You just search for Let's Watch Highlander and look for Audie's awesome artwork. And by the way, the artwork for this episode, your little version of Duncan was awesome. I had completely forgotten. You showed me that picture, and I thought, that's cool. And I had forgotten his sunglasses from that scene.
Yeah.
And then he showed up with those sunglasses on. I was like, those are the most late 90s of sunglasses that you will ever see.
Because he's in those sunglasses and stuff. I was like, this is like, he's like a bright Neo.
Kind of,
and yet this is like several years before The Matrix came out. The Matrix came out, what, 99, 2000?
Yeah, this is 97. I remember seeing that. Yeah, it did have like a very like daylight cyberpunk feel to it, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, Duncan, setting the trends.
Absolutely. It works with the short hair, I tell you what.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I mean, you get used to Adrian Paul with that ponytail, but... he rocks that that short hair. It works.
Oh yeah,
Duncan can pull that off. Adrian Paul's a good looking guy. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Still is. He's barely aged. He's aged like 10 years in the last 25. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah. So definitely look for Audie's artwork. Now I am on Twitter or any of the socials really. Instagram, although I don't post enough there, but. Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, whatever you want. It's TV's Travis. And I love to talk about Immortals or, you know, anything, really. But I definitely will discuss Highlander with you. And Audie, you're all over the place as the Audie Norman.
That's right. Mostly just the Twitters and the Instagrams right now. So
Instagram's a spot to go to find your art, though.
Yes. That's the best place. For sure.
Definitely worth checking out. Check out Audie's art because it's awesome. Yeah, so we will be back next week with episode 2 of season 6, Armageddon. I can't wait.
I love that the second episode is Armageddon.
It's like, oh boy, really laying it all out there early in the season. Maybe that's why it's only 13 episodes. They're like, Armageddon. Well, maybe. I don't know what we do now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But join us next week for episode 2, Armageddon. And until then, remember that there can be only one pair of tiny little sunglasses.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.